What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holland, and you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, BRM.
Hey, yo, this is D-Rock.
What's good? This is your boy, Intellect.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell.
What's good, everybody? This your boy, TC, and you rocking with the Bookkeeper 24-7 podcast, whose hands always on that plow. So keep it tuned in, because we in the field, man, changing the culture for God. Let's go. I got it all.
It's right there.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Yeah. Bookkeeper.
My bookie
24/7.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Yeah. We in our bag now.
All in my boogie book.
Yo, hey. Yo, yo. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello.
24/7, Lord, hit him with the glow.
Bling.
New podcast, and we do it for your soul.
Your soul.
Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros.
The
true fellowship with the saints, boy, you know.
You
now
know.
I keep the book. To keep the foe, hit it in my heart and I put it on my phone.
Okay.
Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow. And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by TBK247.com. Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar. And discuss not just music, but their testimony, musical influences, and other topics throughout our culture. In the 27th episode, Daryl chops it up with Christian hip-hop artist Psy, the Southern Yankee. They discuss his latest songs, Tap In and Living a Lie, his testimony, and how he ended up being a Christian rapper and in our space of Christian hip-hop. Psy, the Southern Yankee, also shares great advice about changing our circles once you're saved. It's another SmackDown interview. You just have to stay tuned in until the end. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the alert button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Thanks for joining us, Psy, the Southern Yankee. Without further delay, let's go.
Hey, what's up? This is Kayla Kemp. Check out Tap In by Psy, the Southern Yankee, and then dive into the most in-depth show of hip-hop with my dad and Psy, the Southern Yankee, only on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast. Holla.
Yeah. I fall in submission, can say I was numb to the pain, but can't say I ain't feel the conviction. Said I was ready to put all the work in, when was time I was out of commission. To go with the motion, I should be in motion. In terms of the chosen, I fit the description. Knowing the truth, but believing the lie. I'm thinking that I wouldn't meet his predictions. I get the feeling I'm disqualified. Tell me, is my spirit being compromised? Like the whitewash from the colonized. Rather push away if I'm not aligned. Got a fear of falling from the top tier, till I seen the tears in my mama eyes. That internal fire that it burning me, and how to live with it internally. Talking time and time again, I disconnected. Relied on self when I was misdirected. I'm like, you don't see the devil out here killing, but miss the fact I've always been protected. I know everybody out here fighting demons. I just pray that I ain't lacking. So many questions, I'm expecting reasons, while he expecting me to tap it. But it's hard to lock in when you trapped in. I can feel God saying tap in. Falling out of touch, but I'm back in. If I ain't got faith, then I'm lacking. Gotta tap in.
Better tap in, tap in. Know you. Better tap in.
Know you better tap in. It's hard to lock in when you trapped in. I can feel God saying tap in. Falling out of touch, but I'm back in. If I ain't got faith, then I'm lacking. Gotta tap in.
You better tap in, tap in. Know you
better tap in. Yeah.
Tap in,
Look, I've been locked in like a bid on me, finally tapping in with the big homie. Feel it's worth the price, like I should give my life, knowing Jesus Christ already did for me. Vow to break the cycle, it's imperative. Still be falling victim to comparatives. Choose to give him glory when I tell my story, cause the devil out here painting narratives. Look, when I was lost, he would be the guide. I was down bad, but then he provide. Never fall short whenever he supplies. At them crossroads, how did we divide? Trying to make a living, feeling dead inside, but I never once thought emergency. I've been cruise control.
controlling life, just let it ride. When you blinded, you don't see the urgency. Man, that path that I follow is always so hollow. I stayed afloat without drowning in sorrow. Knowing them storms where I'm finding my calm. And setting alarms like we promised tomorrow. Everybody out here fighting demons. Better pray that you ain't lacking. So many questions, been expecting reasons. While he expecting you to tap in. But it's hard to lock in. But it's hard to lock in when you trapped in. I can feel God saying tap in. Falling out of touch, but I'm back in. If I ain't got faith, then I'm lacking. Gotta tap in.
Better tap in, tap in. Know you better tap in.
Better tap in.
Better tap in, tap in. Know you better tap in.
It's hard to lock in when you trapped in. I can feel God saying tap in. Falling out of touch, but I'm back in. If I ain't got faith, then I'm lacking. Gotta tap in.
You better tap in, tap in. Know you better tap in.
Better tap in.
Better tap in.
What's up, everyone? This is Lexi Nirvana, and you're listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Check out my newest single, Tú Me Dices, featuring RMK on all digital platforms. This song really speaks about how sometimes in life we have so many problems, and those problems want to tell us who we are. But the only one that could tell you who you are really and knows you is God. When you have a relationship with Him, when you come into His presence, He'll tell you who you are. And not the problem. So I hope this song really speaks to you. God bless.
Hello and welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, where we explore the intersection of faith and culture through the lens of Christian hip hop. I'm your host, Daryl Kemp, and today we have with us Christian rapper Cy the Southern Yankee, who has the potential of making waves in the industry with his style, sound, and powerful message. Cy the Southern Yankee, welcome to the show.
What's going on, bro? Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure that you're here. Yeah. So we love to start the show with a little icebreaker. So where are you from?
So I'm originally from Queens, New York. I lived there for like the beginning portion of my life, I guess you would say. But I was really raised in Atlanta, Georgia. So that's where the whole essence of Southern Yankee came from.
Yes, sir. From the east to the south, that's got to be a journey.
It was. And it was kind of like me embracing both sides of the spectrum for real, because, you know, I got my family, my entire family, they're New Yorkers, you know. So once we came down here, it was like everybody in Georgia was like, oh, you a New Yorker. You sound like a New Yorker. I can hear your accent, you know. But then, like, anytime I got around family or other New Yorkers, it'd be like, man, you sound country. You know what I'm saying? Like, no side really accepted me. So I just was like, you know what? I'm cool with just being me. Like, I'm embrace me. So that's where the essence of Side of Southern Yankee came from.
Yes, sir. So let me ask you this. Is there a difference between Eastern hospitality and Southern hospitality?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, because a lot of people have bad things to say about like New York, or at least up north. And I just think that the culture is a little bit different up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really hard to, like, there's no real trust. It's a lot of backstabbing. It's a lot of just, like, doing what you got to do for yourself. You know, and it's not like that in other areas. But I just, it's real. Like, the culture is like that for real up there. So there is no real, like, you can't go up there and be awesome. Hey, how you doing? Just randomly. Streets to some random stranger, they're gonna look at you crazy, like, who are you and why are you talking to me? You know what I'm saying? And even coming down to the south, a lot of people who get finessed that way, you know, because Southern hospitality is just that. You know, they'll speak to you, they'll ask you how you doing, random strangers, they want to talk to you, have some dialogue, but you know, they could swindle you, you know what I'm saying? So
yes, sir.
I just think it's a little bit different on both sides, but I wouldn't say one's better than the other. You know, people in New York kind of stay to themselves or stay around the people who they know to stay around. And then in the South, you kind of just take a chance. You take a chance for real.
Yes, sir. That Southern hospitality will fool you every time.
Man.
Yes, sir. Can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing and how it influenced the music you make today?
All right, so I've been doing I've been involved in music since I was like 5 years old. My pops, he was a DJ, like in-home DJ, a producer, rapper himself. So like in the early stages of my life, I watched him on his journey trying to pursue his own career. And we talking early 90s. So you know how that, I don't know how old you are, but you might know how that was. You know what I'm saying? As far as
absolutely.
Going to the labels yourself, being able to go to the record, sit in the building and try and get a meeting to play your music for them. It wasn't like them having to reach out to you to fly you out and all of that other stuff. So I've heard him on the radio, all of that stuff. So it kind of just, you know, seeing him go through his walk, it inspired me. And I was kind of like his sidekick. I was his Robin, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just watching him do his thing, I eventually learned how to do it. And I want to say around the age of like 11, I started writing my own stuff. And then it was like middle school to high school, I just kind of took off just penning it. He was like my mentor. Like we had an in-home studio. And surprisingly, I'm in it right now. I just got this sheet up. But,
okay.
Well, I'm in it right now, and I had the in-home studio, and man, like it was just years and years of growth down here. Like you know, of course, musically you go through phases. So I went through my phases. I was big on battle rap, still am. Really big on rap. I was big on hip hop in itself. I would say he's always kind of led me to just keep some type of structure or substance, I would say substance in my music. So that was always important to me to make sure that I'm talking about something and not just making that, you know, didn't mean anything to anybody. Prior, I want to say I just became a Christian hip hop artist probably about maybe 3 or 4 months ago. Prior to that, I was just, and this is 20 plus years of me doing music, you know what I'm saying? And I've been at it for a long time in Atlanta. I've been in groups, I've been in cliques, you know what I'm saying? I done took different avenues. I tried to do the hosting thing for a while, hosting ciphers and all of that. So I've been in the music for a while, but as far as what led me to where I'm at today, as I said, I've always had substance in my music. And I think that's what kind of set me aside from all of the people who I worked with over time is because, you know, a lot of us growing up or a lot of them growing up, they were making music that fit the times, you know? So it's been whoever the hottest rapper is at that time, they wanted to make music like that. And I just always wanted to be different in a sense. Up until I had the opportunity to open for Chris Brown and Lil Baby last year for the One of Them Ones tour. And like, I'm like, man, God finally about to move. Like we about to take off. It's over with. You know what I'm saying? Who gets a big opportunity like that? You know, man, all to deal with janky promoters. All to deal with janky promoters. And they ended up trying to shorten the show and they let go of the opening acts, but they did that like 2 weeks prior, but didn't inform me. I just wasn't informed. So I spent all preparation, bro, everything. I'm talking about, I got like 10 people in the van with me. We pull up to the show. They talk about credentials and stuff. All to get turned around, man, at the door, bro. And it was like, It was like disheartening, but at the same time, processing that as quickly as I could, you know, I was getting God the glory for giving me the opportunity and for the opportunity to fall through. It was like, man, I can't turn back now and flip sides like, oh, you ain't really, you know what I'm saying? I can't change up how I came at him. So I was just like, you know what? I've always been different. So let's make a whole nother step to being different. And it's like my perimeter, you know, of people, my radius of people. So I was just like, I'm gonna draw so close to you that the communication is crystal clear, or as crystal clear as it could possibly be. So I just made a small decision, or a big decision, slowly but surely, to become a Christian hip hop artist, man. And that's what I did. I did a contest, kind of testing it. It was we found a church, my wife and I, we found a home church, and they were doing the home church just ended up having a record label. And I was like, that's different. I ain't never heard of that before. All the churches I had, and I didn't coming up and all of that, you know what I'm saying? So I had a period where I was like, I'm never going back to church again, you know what I'm saying? And this is the first time stepping foot into it, finally embracing them and being like, okay, cool, I'm gonna stay here, I'm gonna kind of learn, grow here. And then to find out they had a record label, I'm like, and these are young people like my age and stuff, so I'm like, okay, let's see what they talking about. So I do the showcase. It was basically like a talent show in a sense, but it's like the production is A1, so like the talent is like a talent show on steroids. You know what I'm
okay.
So I do this showcase, and I'm like, God, I got one single, just one single that I created, a Christian hip hop single. I'm like, God, I'm about to do this. We're gonna see what it turns out to be, like, whatever. And I ended up winning the whole contest, bro. Like,
oh wow.
Yeah, I ended up being number one winning the whole contest. Just like, bro, I'm not even a month into being a Christian artist. And like, I just felt like that was God telling me, like, if you make this step, I got you. You know what I mean? So here I am, bro. Still stepping.
Hey. Hey, man, that sounds like you walked into Ken Jones Church or something.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So was your dad a mainstream artist?
Who, the label?
No, your dad. Was he a mainstream artist?
So he wasn't a mainstream artist, but like, you know, around the time, and again, he grew up in New York. Mm-hmm. So around the time in the 90s, like, he's coming up where like Busta Rhymes and his crew is big, and Deep in them are big, you know, and they're seeing each other. Wu-Tang, all of them, they're seeing each other. They're in the same atmosphere. So like, the independent circuit and the mainstream circuit, really, it was like a very thin line, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody was everywhere, especially in New York. But that's a lot different now. You can't just be that close to celebrities like how you could before.
That's right.
So he wasn't a mainstream artist, but I see him on his run, on his personal run, and it was very inspiring.
Yes, sir. Because I would ask, from you growing up as your dad, as your mentor,
yeah,
in the culture of hip hop, and then your transition into Christian hip-hop, what you went through and how you ended up in the church, right? Did other people see anything different with you? Like, they could feel that you were different, maybe on a different path or a different journey than what they were on?
So the music that I was making when I was secular, I wasn't like I said, I always had substance. So it wasn't like too much of a transition outside of like taking a few curse words or taking curse words out, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Staying away from certain subjects. But outside of that, like, everybody is like, yo, it's almost like you didn't even change up for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, the transition is so smooth. And I probably had it spoken over to me. What is this? This 2023. So I probably had it spoken over to me like maybe 11 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, that I would be a Christian hip hop artist. Somebody I was working with, her family was in a church deep. She was just like, yeah, you gonna make music for God one day. And I was just like, whatever. What you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Don't even come at me like that. Like, what are you talking about? And, you know, I denied that. And then the closer I got to this point, the more and more I had people kind of secretly prophesying over me, but they wouldn't tell me what was happening. They would just be like, you know what you're supposed to be doing. Like, bro, I went to a whole trip. I went and did a show there a couple months ago, actually. I did a show in Orlando. And that was one of the churches I had visited because one of my friends was like, he's like a youth pastor there. I just came to visit. And at the end of the whole event, the first lady of the church, as me and my wife were leaving, she's holding the door open and she's like, you know what you're supposed to be doing. And I was like, I had never even spoken to this lady. I don't even know you. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm laughing it off. I'm like, what you mean? She's like, you know what you're supposed to be doing. She was like, yeah, you acting, but you know. And I was just like, okay, I get in the car. I'm like, this lady crazy. I don't know what she's talking about. You know what I'm saying? All to find out, all to come back. And when I did the performance there, I made sure before I performed that I singled her out and said, thank you for saying that, because it resonated with me once I made the decision that's exactly what she was talking about. And she, you know, she was very thankful. She was very thankful. But yeah, bro, I'm still stepping, man.
Amen. Amen. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Cy the Southern Yankee. When we come back after these messages, we will be hearing Cy the Southern Yankee's testimony.
This is Justin Martyr, and you better stay locked in with the Bookkeeper 247. And you can check me out, listen to my latest single, check out my latest music video. It's called Cold Streets featuring 3. And you can follow me. My name is Justin Martyr. You can find me on all social media at JustinMartyr305, at JustinMartyr305. And you can check out my website at JustinMartyr305.com. Once again, that's JustinMartyr305.com, JustinMartyr. All right, God bless y'all. Keep it locked to the Bookkeeper 24/7.
Been doing ministry here for a couple years in Chicago. Shed more than...
We have a new way you can seed with the Bookkeeper 247.com to help us grow. Head over to the website, click the merch button, and pick out our newly better quality design t-shirts. Enter the promo code behind the mic and get 10% off of your purchase. Also, you can help us grow by dropping a comment and sharing the podcast. Make sure you hit the subscription button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my hubby and your host, Daryl Kemp.
This is Kyle Kemp from the Bookkeeper247.com. Music represents our uniqueness, our freedom, and helps define who you are. Good music is art, expression, and good music is always personal. The Bookkeeper 24/7 understands the influence music has on our lives. So on our website, we have the best Christian music for the culture. If you'd like to submit your music or videos to our website, we have the link in the show notes. Now back to the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Cy the Southern Yankee. As we move into this segue, I love to hear testimonies, and so do our listeners. Talk to us about the transition of unsaved Cy the Southern Yankee to accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Oh, man, that's good. That's a good segue. So the one thing that I recognized recently about who I was before, because as I told you before, my transition was a very smooth one. But the one thing that I do recognize and I feel like stands out was my music before had a lot of pain in it. It had a lot in it with no destination. It was talking about where I was and basically trying to get people to feel my pain with me, you know. But it never talked about where to give your pain. You know what I'm saying? And that's just the major transition that I feel like my music has now. My wife and I, we were just listening to like a couple of my tracks from before, because I when I switched over, I ended up deleting my entire catalog, and I had like 2 years of music that I had built up, full single videos, all kinds of stuff, and I had deleted the entire catalog just to start fresh. And I didn't want to misrepresent. I didn't want to misrepresent. So we were listening to it last night, and it's not that it still doesn't have that like that dope essence of it. It's just not hit. It don't hit like it hit me before. And I truly equate that to just me not being in the space that I was. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in that space anymore. So it's like I don't necessarily feel that pain anymore. You know what I'm saying? So the music now is just all about Christ, man. All about giving it to Christ. All about worshiping. And it's just a different feeling, man. And I'm reaping benefits off of it. So it lets me know that what I'm doing is exactly what, you know, what he's pleased with.
Sir. Yes, sir. Was it a moment that you had that said, you know what? Bump the music, bump what I'm doing. I got to answer this call and I got to follow Christ.
Yes. But I wouldn't say that it came with bump the music, because music is always music is my first love, literally. Okay. That's the only thing I really, really do. I like them, you know what I'm saying? I go to very, very much so consistently. But outside of that, man, like, music is my first love for real. So in everything that I think of, music is a part of it. So, you know, coming to Christ again was a decision that was kind of influenced by my wife, because she's a PK, you know, and she's always kind of had a relationship with God. I have my ups and downs, you know what I'm saying? But when I met her, I kind of reestablished my relationship with God, but it really wasn't. It was like halfway in, halfway out. And the more we spent time together, the more I kind of started to meet other people who were tapped in with God. And I'm just like, okay, you know, I'm still going to be one foot in, one foot out, because I ain't trying to go to nobody church. You know what I'm saying? Wendell, I ain't trying to get finessed. So I want to say January 2021, we went on a fast. And the fast kind of just pushed a lot of things to where we are now. You know what I'm saying? My wife started saying, okay, I want a community. Like, okay, we got to find community. But at first I'm like, we can go on social media and find community. Like, just find some pretty. We just start kicking it with them. But then it was like, nah, I want to go to church. Like, okay, so we got to go to church now, you know? And it was such a smooth experience, because the first time we went to the church, it was great. And it wasn't even the main pastor. It was a guest pastor.
And it was
fire. I was like, oh, okay. So, but you know, we still didn't join. We was like, let's wait till the main pastor come back, because it may not be this fire. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Main pastor come back the following week. It was more fire. So I was like, okay. I was just ready. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna give my life to Christ again. And this time I'm gonna do it 100%. So like, we serve and everything within the church. But like I said before too, like, in this decision, I'm also in the back of my mind thinking of my career. Like, God, the more I draw closer to you, like, just, you know, my desire, you know, my heart, like, this mm-hmm. is what, this is what I need. Like, this is all I think about. You know what I'm saying? So position me to where I can do both. I can serve you. I can serve your people. And at the same time, I can get off my, you know, get my mm-hmm. out for real. And here we are.
Amen. But the scriptures say the Lord will give us our desires of our heart. So that's one good thing. I also want to give a shout out to your wife, because that's awesome. You know, because when you was talking about changing company, you know, the word says that bad company will corrupt good character.
Yeah.
So it's important that we change our circles.
Yeah.
You know, and I got a partner, God rest his soul. He died in a tragic accident last year, but he had one saying that sticks with me. He said that you never see any pigeons flying with eagles.
That's good. That's good.
You know, so
I had to learn. That's something that I had to learn, because I have such a big heart. I'm like, I could still follow God and be with everybody, because, you know, I'm going to be that light in every room. And it's not to say that that's not necessarily true, but you can't be with everybody. You can't be with everybody. And I had to hard way. I still was hanging around the same people I was hanging around, still doing certain things, and they were still influencing me. I won't say influencing me, but they were doing things that I was having issues with letting go of, you know, strong. So I eventually changed my circle. The more we call it kingdom bros, the more kingdom bros I came across, the more I was able to kind of step away from those circles and just kind of dive all the way in with Christ.
Amen. I always get the opportunity to talk to that one out there feeling like it's impossible to win. If you could talk to that one person right now that may be halfway in and halfway out and on the same fence you were as accepting Christ and God's will for their life, what advice would you give them?
I would say, just like in anything in life, so God is so much bigger, but if you simplify it, you get out what you put in, right? So if you only put in half the effort in, you only gonna get half the effort out. My father's always taught me that. So when I look at it from a relationship standpoint, and any other relationship in your life that excels, you think of like the greatest relationship in your life, you more than likely have put a whole lot of effort into it. You know what I'm saying? Be where it's at today. So when we talking about God, you know what I'm saying? The one in control of all, establishing a relationship with him is so different, but you have to have that. Like, it's like you have to open your mind to the possibilities. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the difficult part for a lot of people. They're not willing to open their minds up, you know, if it's not the way that they want it, how they want it. And then a lot of people don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to be disciplined. So I would just say, open your mind up first, open your heart up, let go of everything that you feel and you've dealt with. Because a lot of that will kind of hold you back and hinder you from being open-minded towards accepting Christ. And just be open to starting a new real relationship, desire to learn his word, desire to learn him, desire to learn his love, because you'll start to apply those things into your life and you'll notice the difference immediately.
Yes, sir. Amen. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Cy, the Southern Yankee. Stay locked in as we'll be back after these messages.
Hey, family, I hope you're enjoying the show. In order to change the culture for God through media, we have plenty of opportunities for you to grow with us. Do you need production for your podcast or YouTube video? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to do album reviews, start your own podcast, write your own devotionals? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to report Christian news, from hip-hop to book reviews, as well as related topics in our culture. Look no further. We got you. By partnering with us, we can do all these things for the glory of God. Email us at thebookkeeper247@gmail.com and let's start making strides to influence the culture from a godly perspective. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Sy the Southern Yankee. Let's talk Christian hip hop. What are some of the positive and negatives you see in Christian hip hop thus far?
Okay, I'll say positives first. The positives is that I didn't know it was this many dope artists in Christian hip-hop.
Yes, sir.
You know, coming up, they used to really say Christian rap was like corny. So mm-hmm. I accepted that, you know what I mean, as like truth. And I would even say back then that that was kind of wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's just, mm-hmm. it wasn't, I was used to listening to.
Yes, sir.
But man, now it's so many dope. Like every day I'm finding a new dope, you know, Christian rap artist. And I'm just like, yo, this is amazing seeing so many people on fire for God like this. You know what I mean? Sir. Like doing it like with full elite skill sets. Like super dope. I will say, what was it? The you said the good and the bad or the or
yes, sir.
So the bad that I notice is I'm starting to learn that just because it's Christian, like hip-hop or Christian music, doesn't mean that it's all authentic.
Mm.
It doesn't mean that it's all authentic. And even in the sense of I'm noticing that there are talks of Christian hip hop being dead, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Really just look at that as, you know, let me just call it what it is. I look at that as like how they were doing with hip hop, you know what I mean? It's like when it evolves, a lot of people who can't keep up or they can't stay relevant with the times, they start, you know what I'm saying, basically scrutinizing it to mm-hmm. a whole. When I just don't feel like that's fair. It's like, mm-hmm. evolve with it, man. Evolve mm-hmm. with it, bro, together. But when you start separating things and making it seem like it's not what it used to be, okay, it can't be that forever. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Like, supposed to evolve. So that's the only bad part. Like, I do think that people kind of think when it's Christian, everything is just going to be wholesome and true and honest.
Mm-hmm.
And true. You still got...
That's right.
You still got people on this side who are, they may have ulterior motives or, you know, they, you'll recognize that there's a little bit of ego that plays a part, but I stay in my own space. I don't really care about none of that. So, you know, I'm more so on the good side.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I know you just getting in the space. I know it shocked me when I was like, okay, I thought we was all Christians, you know?
It blew my mind, bro, because like when I first did my searching, I'm finding all these Christian hip-hop artists like dope. I'm finding the people who play the background. I'm like, okay, I'm about to start tapping in with these people. And then you just start to, you can kind of tell by just how people operate, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been in rooms with people, or I've been in certain spaces with people talking directly to them, like one-on-one conversations. Be like, yeah, bro, I'm gonna follow you so we can talk and this and that. And you'll follow. They won't, like, they'll act like they never even met you. And it's just, like, that's weird to me because it's like, bro, it's not even about to follow. It's just the principle of we had a one-on-one dialogue saying how we was going to do this or we're going to work towards this. You even told me, hey, yeah, hit me up, tap in with me, this, and that. But I do that. You play it like you never met me or you don't know who I am. So I think that's weird. I just think it's weird.
Yes, sir. Make sure. When we get off, I'm gonna pass you my personal number so we can keep in touch. Cause we've been in it for a minute, and I got some real friends out here that, I mean, we share scriptures.
Yeah,
we had them rough conversations too, and we had them conversations with, nah, you don't need to look at it like that either. Sure. You know, so you wrong. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't like to hear that, but we have the correct, I call it the correction table. So, yes.
I love it.
Yes, sir. So, let's talk about your latest single, Tap In. Mm-hmm. This was your debut song into the Christian hip hop space.
Yeah.
How much pressure was that?
It was a lot. It was very scary, man, because I probably sat on Tap In just because the process was very slow from creation to getting it recorded to, because I performed it at that showcase that I told you about before I ever really got the final version of it. So I just had all version with the hook, and that's what I used for the performance. And I would say that process took like 3 months before I could really release it. Or not even 3 months. It might have been like a month and a half. But that feels very long to me because I'm used to making it happen very quickly.
Yes, sir.
It was very... With that time span happening, I was just like, I'm having all these different thoughts. Like, man, are people going to receive this properly? Like, what are the hip hop heads that I'm used to rocking with? What are they gonna think? Like, you know, as lyrical, is this as, you know, are they, you know, just thinking all these different things that didn't really matter. It didn't really matter because I'm doing it for Christ. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I had to kind of let that mindset go. But I'm not gonna act like it didn't plague my mind for a bit until I finally released it. And then once you release it, you just kind of got to let all that go.
Yes, sir.
I mean, but the release was amazing, man. I performed it at the show. People were like, yo, I love it. Like, but I also couldn't fully accept that because they were more so, you know, they were more so judging my stage presence. You're so professional. You did your thing up there. You rocked the whole stage. Whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. So I'm like, okay, cool. And people said they liked the song. I also, like I said, I mixed that in with y'all just really like the stage presence. I came up here like a professional, so this, and that. I'm like, I still got a song for real. Mm-hmm. So I want to say I released the song like a month later, and the feedback was amazing. The feedback was amazing, man. Like we made it on Rapzilla, which was dope, which was super. I had just found out about what Rapzilla was, and how big it was in Christian hip hop. I didn't know it was deep.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, this is super dope. This is super dope. And I'm still getting a lot of people who, you know, they like, yo, I listen to Tap In every single day. Like, this. It's dope, man. Since then, I've released a new single. I just released a new single last week called Living a Lie. And that one is pretty much doing the same thing. Now they like, okay, he back to back with it. Like, what's coming next?
Yeah, sir. I seen that too. I gotta tap in. Yeah, and you see how I play on words? I gotta tap in and listen to the new. Yes, sir. So break down, man. What did you want the listener to get out of Tap In?
Tap In was really just talking about my journey of being in such a dark space for so long and like falling out with God, the reasons I'm falling out with God, but also feeling that conviction, like him wanting to have a relationship with me. You know what I'm saying? And as I tell people, I lead with anytime I do a show or something, I lead with like Tap In being about me reestablishing a relationship with God. You know what I mean? Importance of it. And it's like, yo, when you hear him tugging on your heart, man, tap in with him. You know what I'm saying? It's only for your benefit.
Amen. So,
yeah.
Yes, sir. With you just getting into the space, man, not a new artist, but just getting into the Christian hip hop space, who are some of the people you would like to work with?
Man, it's a plethora. It's a plethora of artists. Obviously, Lecrae. KB, S Kid, I like Jay Monty. He out of Atlanta. He's fire. Who else, man? Who else? It's a lot of dope artists, man. It's a lot of dope artists. I know I'm probably forgetting people who I listen to on an everyday basis. Ovi, I want to go. He's dope. Yeah, bro. I'm everybody, man, because it's for the kingdom. So everybody.
Amen. How do you handle criticism and negative feedback from listeners who may not agree with your message or your approach?
I don't. I'm not big on the back and forth, man. If you don't rock with it, cool, keep it pushing, man. Like, this is for the ones who do rock with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not fit to go back and forth with nobody.
Yes, sir. How do you approach writing lyrics and choosing beats for your songs in a way that aligns with your faith?
That's interesting. I like that question. So beat wise, I pick beats. This is going to sound crazy, or maybe it not sound crazy. Maybe somebody else does this as well, but I pick beats typically that are familiar in the secular world. But I like to put the spin on it. You know what I'm saying? And price on it. So I might find a trap beat. I might find a drill beat or something like that. I just might find different things that you would hear the regular secular artists on, and I just try to, you know, put my touch on it. As far as the writing process, it's kind of, I take my time, man. I let the spirit lead me for real. And just, you know, I'm very particular about how I say things. So it's really like writing an essay when I'm writing verses for real. Like, I'm proofreading as I go. I'm big on memorizing too. So as I'm memorizing, I'm saying it 1,000 times over as I'm writing to memorize it. And then by the time I'm done with the verse, I pretty much have the whole verse memorized. So that's really the writing process. But I'm not really a quick writer. I'm not really. I take my time.
Yes, sir. I would ask this, with your wife being a big role in your life, do you run it by her when you finish, like an accountability partner?
A lot of the times. I don't do it in its raw phase. So like, I'll create a song and then I'll do like a voice memo, like I'll do a voice memo and I'll rap over it. And once I feel like it's in good standings as far as the voice memo goes, like, okay, the regular listener can listen to this and they can recognize that it's a voice memo, but they can hear the potential of the song. We'll be in the car and I'll play it for her like that. But usually takes me listening to it like a good 100 times and just being enough to be like, okay, I can let somebody else hear this.
Yeah, that's dope. One of my friends, Get Him Jay, out there. Oh, what'd you say now?
I was saying my music is still my baby, so you know I gotta take care. I don't want no judgment on it before I really put it out there.
I know that's right. Man, one of my friends out there, Get Him Jay, he do our intro for the podcast. He was telling me that it's important as well. What he does, he runs all his music through his pastor.
Oh, wow.
To make sure that he stays committed to the mission, you know, the journey. And I'm not saying all lyrics got to be Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. You know, I'm not saying it's got to be theological through, you know, you're going to have some swag. He got swag in his music as well. But right. That's one of his biggest things that he does as an artist, and I thought that was pretty dope, because I never imagined, like me, I write, but I've never ran nothing through my pastor, you know.
I wouldn't even thought about that. Like, he's heard my music because we've done songs for the church. We got a video we did for the church, and they play that before like service and stuff, so like church be seeing that. That's how a lot of the church, they like, oh, you a rapper, ooh, you rap, that's dope. And he knows that, like, he was there when I did that showcase. He was there when I first showcased, and he came up to me probably a couple weeks later, and he was like, yo, you're amazing. Like, you really dope. Like, keep doing this. But if I had that close relationship with him to run it by him, I would definitely on speed dial, hey man, listen to this track I just did. So
yes, sir.
Maybe in the future.
Amen. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Cy the Southern Yankee. Stay locked in as we'll be back for this last segue.
Yo. Man, what's good? It's your boy Shine On Me. We locked into the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast. Listen, make sure you tap into the new project, The Curse of the Prophet. It's out right now on all streaming platforms. Lock in for me, you hear me?
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Cy, the Southern Yankee. How do you see the role of Christian hip hop evolving in the future?
I see it getting big. I see it getting bigger than what it already is. Honestly, I do feel like it's going to be up there with how people view hip hop and regular rap. I feel like they're going to view Christian hip hop the same exact way, because there's a very thin line. And that's where I feel like the hard Christians, they don't like that.
Mm-hmm. But absolutely.
So many people by it being that way, because you might hear a song that's a Christian song and it sounds like it's Lil Baby or something, but he talking nothing, talking about everything, you know, he talking about God. So it's just like if you people try to, or Christians, hard Christians, they try to make it, I don't know why I call it hard Christians, but it's hard Christians to make it seem like it shouldn't be that close. Like, people shouldn't be confused like that. But it's like, if you're confusing them to draw them closer to Christ, how is that a problem? You know what I mean? Like, how that's an issue. Whereas, you know, the devil is in plain sight talking about the things that they want to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see the issue. So I think Christian hip hop is going to be huge. That's why I'm not a fan of the narrative that Christian hip hop is dead. I don't think it's nowhere near dead. I'm here.
Yes, sir.
And so I don't know what these people talking about.
Yes, sir. That lead me in, and that was perfect. So expand on, how do you see the relationship between Christianity and the hip hop culture?
Now, when you say that, are you referring to? Honestly, I'm gonna be transparent. I don't feel like Christianity really has a place in hip hop, or has had a place in hip hop. You know, I think hip hop has been free for it's a free art, you know, and not to say that there's not freedom in Christ. It's just, there's no real like discipline. There's no limits. You can kind of talk about what you want. You could do what you want. Visually, you can show what you want. And it's just supposed to be accepted because it's hip hop. That's why I think it's important for Christian hip hop to have a place, because it's like, we'll still give y'all the good music, but there's limits to what we will show and say and do. So that's why I feel like, you know, lay off the Christian hip hop, man. Let it rock.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I know the conundrum for me is, and I like one of your previous answers where you say you don't even argue with it, deal with it, right? The negativity. But to me, the cross between the elder saints not accepting it, right? And then you brought up an aspect that I didn't realize, but you're right. The older Christian hip hop heads, right, critiquing the younger artists because they'd have got old, you know. I would give them their props though, you know, the elder Christian hip hop people, right? To me, it's such a combination. It can be combustion. It could blow up when you don't have a sure place that you fit in at. So I love that your church is already on top of it, right? And so what would you tell the older saint, right, that has already condemned your music as hellbound, because that's how we look at the rap, older saints look at the rap culture like that, just all in one. What could they do to make it easier for younger artists like yourself?
Support it. Just support it. Find peace in it. Find peace in not being such a stickler about it and give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm one of them. I'm one of the Christian hip hop artists that I'm not going to mind getting the old school, you know, Christian rappers on it. I'm not going to mind. I want the lyrical essence of Christ on there too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like,
ooh, I think that'll be a great balance. But when you get to just critiquing it because it sounds like it's secular, so what if it sounds like it? So what if sometimes being too different could be a downfall? You know what
That's
I mean? Right. You gotta put some similarity in there so that people, oh yeah, I like this. This sound like blah, blah, blah. Wait, but they talking about God. That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Let them decide.
That's right. I also think too, I'm going to piggyback. I'm going to say this because I've been thinking about this for a while now. I also think with younger Christian hip hop artists, right? They just getting in our space. Who was they listening to before they got here? You know, some still, I don't really listen to the secular anymore because it does something to my spirit. But some people have the Lord, you can separate that. You can see what's going on, and you have to be creative as an artist. But a lot of times the younger artists, they was listening to Lil Baby before they got saved. So it's natural maybe for them to sound like Lil Baby after they're saved.
Exactly. And I think that that's amazing that you can sound like a Lil Baby, a Lil Wayne, a Drake, these popular secular artists are. You can sound like them and do it for Christ in the same breath. I think that's amazing. I think that's amazing because then you give people a choice. You give people a choice. Don't get me wrong. I still like when I first made the transition, I told myself I was going to stop listening to secular music. So I went to and a half months without listening to secular music at all. Just listening to Christian hip hop or like worship music. You know what I'm saying? Then I started slowly picking up secular music here and there. But just like you said, I can't listen to it for long periods of time because this is with my spirit. I might listen to like 1, 2, 3 songs. Then it's like, all right, time to go back to worship. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, I feel like If it gives you that familiar feel, like you wanna, if you feel like you wanna be a little ratchet today, you know what I'm saying? You wanna feel a little, but it's ratchet for God. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, sir.
That's okay. I don't know, man. I don't know. I wish that people were more accepting of it because I do feel like we would get a lot further. God would get a lot further. His messages would get a lot further. But people kind of, with Christians in particular, that's what I'm talking about, with Christians being so hell-bent on like saying that Christian hip-hop is of the devil and all this other stuff, man, I'm like, bro, y'all are hindering God's message getting further, bro. Y'all are
Yeah, that's what I communicate with the elder saints. I tell them, I say, hey, it's just like these old hymns that y'all sing, right? It's just the delivery is different.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the delivery is different. So how do you make time for spiritual growth while also investing time in building your career as a Christian rapper?
So that's another thing that I learned in this space as well. You can't fake the funk. You really were, you know, like my wife and I, we're always at church. We always at church on Sundays. We serving on the media team. And then throughout the week, we go into like practices, we go into the Bible studies, all of that, you know, not and doing a little bit of sermon, watching at home, worshiping and all of that. And I think that is what helps inspiration. It helps creativity. It helps in things that I want to talk about. And it just helps in just being in the presence of God. You know what I mean?
Amen. Amen. So last but not least, where can we find your music?
I'm on every streaming platform. All you got to do is put inside the Southern Yankee, and I'm sure you'll see music pop up. I got a lot more music coming soon, so within the next couple months, you're going to see release. You should see a release every single month, God willing. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Amen. Talk a little bit about your latest single that you just put out.
So Living a Lie, Living a Lie. It's kind of like a follow-up for Tap In. Whereas in Tap In, I talked about reestablishing a relationship with Christ. And then Living a Lie is just more so talking about how naive I was in not understanding that when you don't follow Christ, the devil is like, you're really allowing the devil to operate in your life. And even if you don't know, you know, and it's just saying how, like, you know, if you would have told me then, like, I was living a lie, it's like, nah, I might say I'm stretching the truth. Like, that's the first two lines. It's hard to say I'm living a lie, rather say stretching the truth. And it's that, that's really how I felt. And I just go through different things that I was battling with, things that I was dealing with, certain habits that I had that I was comfortable with, not even knowing that I was so far from God. So, yeah, man, y'all be sure to go check it out. I just released a music video for it. It's going crazy. We just hit Rapzilla homepage last night.
So, okay.
Yeah, man, y'all be sure to check it out.
Yes, sir. Any last closing remarks or shout outs?
Shout out to God, man. Shout out to God for positioning me to be able to continue to do what I love to do, but be able to glorify him at the same time, giving me community who encourages me, who uplifts me, and just pouring into me, man, continuing to work through. I'm so appreciative. So yeah, shout out to God, man, and my wife.
Yeah, you better shout out wifey, man.
Saying that all the time, my wife like my manager, low key. She just, I don't want to give her that role. I don't want to give her that role yet, but she really like my manager.
Yes, sir. Well, I see Bizzle's wife. She approved. She's actually like his AR and everything. She even approved the music before it go on the app.
Oh wow! See, I gotta go on YouTube and do some homework. I'm gonna go.
I think that's dope. And my wife, she helps me all the time edit different things. So yeah, man, shout out to your wife, man. It's gonna be official. I'm claiming it. She's gonna be the manager.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. But man,
don't say that too loud now.
Yes, sir. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show, man. I also want to say that I pray that the Lord keeps convicting your heart, that he keeps your feet of fire, that he keeps you focused on the message. And I pray that your ministry reaches millions. And I pray that you have a healthy career in this space. So welcome to the space.
Thank you, brother. And I'm so grateful for you inviting me on the show, man. I hope we can do it again sometime.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, it's been an amazing conversation with the incredible, talented, and inspiring Cy, the Southern Yankee. Before we say goodbye, make sure to follow Cy, the Southern Yankee, on his social media accounts and stay updated on his latest projects and upcoming events. We'll have all that in the show notes. You can also check out his latest debut song, In Our Space, Tap In, on all streaming platforms, and be sure for future projects to pre-save it so it'll show the support and help boost its visibility in the industry. Also, don't forget to check out the show notes for the links and more information. Thank you for tuning in to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, and we'll catch you on the next time. Peace.